chapter 6, it is a story that we are familiar with. I'm sure most of us are. But it's just something that I was in my reading during the course of the week, because I'm supposed to be teaching on finance, but I can't seem to get there. So I've just left that alone for right now. Hopefully we'll pick that up maybe next Sunday. I don't know. But as I was reading, something stood out. And I believe it's simplistic, but I believe it's a word of encouragement for us on today. But in the book of Mark, chapter 6, let's drop down to verse 45. We'll read from verse 45 to 52. When you get there, just say amen. Amen. And the word of the Lord reads, "And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto him to Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when evening was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land." The ship is in the middle of the sea, and Jesus is alone on the land. "And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary." In other words, the wind was against them. "And about the fourth watch of the night, he comes unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit or a ghost, and cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and said unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And when he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased." And when he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased. "And they were so amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered." This is important. Verse 52. Just put your finger there and remember that. "For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened." Now, most of you, you've read this, and it's in Matthew's and even in the book of Mark, as Jesus walking on the water. So most of you are familiar with that. But I want to speak to you just from a very simplistic thought. You are going to make it. Amen. You're going to make it. Now, that may not be for everybody, but I believe it's for somebody, that you're going to make it. Can you tell your neighbor, you're going to make it through this? You're going to make it. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. And so I really believe that this message is for people who are struggling to hold on to what God has said and what God has called you to do for such a time as this. For all of the people that it looks like the enemy is clawing at you and trying to bring you down and stop you from getting to your destiny and your destination, I want to tell you one more time, you're going to make it. You're going to make it. You know, I feel like I can drop the mic right now, and that's enough for some of you right now, because you know I'm speaking to your spirit right now that, man, Pastor, you don't know, you know, behind the smile, behind the suit, the tie, all of those things, you know, and the things that we do, many times we are stressing. We are under pressure that people have no idea what we are dealing with. That if they could do an examination on you, they would see how pressure is almost trying to overtake you. But the word of the Lord comes to you today and say, you're going to make it. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. In spite of the pressure, in spite of the pain, in spite of the challenges, all of the responsibilities, all of the pulls that are coming at your life. Does anybody feel like you've been pulled in 7 different ways and you're wondering, how in the world am I going to hold on to it? You know, I try to fix that and then this breaks, and I try to do that and then this happens. But all of us, I don't know what's going to do. What am I going to do? I want you to know, you're going to make it. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. I know it's rough on your job right now. Some of you are dealing with family issues and children problems and young adult problems and, you know, and transition of life and job issues and careers and challenges and financial issues. But at the end of the day, I do want you to understand, you're going to make it. Come on, somebody help me preach that this morning. Tell somebody else, you're going to make it. 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 I don't know how you're going to make it. I don't know how you're going to get through it. But I do know you're going to make it. Because if God be for you. Come on, come on, come on. You got to help me preach this morning. If God be for you. Hey, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I heard in the word, he will never leave me nor forsake me. So I got to make it through. I got to make it on the other side. My God. Because God has already spoken. I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it. I'll just preach to myself today. I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it. Does it feel like the enemy has just unleashed stuff in your life? You know, I decided and made up my mind. I'm going to sell out to God and I'm not going to play around any longer. He's got my heart. He's got my mind. He's got my soul. He's got my spirit. And all of a sudden it seems like I find myself in chaotic situations that I've never experienced in my life. I want you to know you are in the right place at the right time, because that lets you know you are right where you're supposed to be. Because when the enemy is on you, it means you're in the right place walking with God. And if you're walking with God, my God, you gotta make it. You gotta make it. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will what? I will fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. So even though you are going through some hellish stuff right now, God is right there walking you through it. But Pastor, I don't feel God. It doesn't seem like God is there. You don't walk by sight, you walk by faith. So you may not be able to trace him, touch him, or feel him, but it doesn't mean that he's not there. He's right there with you. So you're going to make it. You're going to make it. So going back to the text. In the text, I want to give you like maybe just four takeaways to help you maintain and let you know that you are going to make it. You're going to make it. I've been at this text, probably preached from this text 3 or 4 times. Just a different revelation today. But I want to go back there. You're going to make it through to the other side. Now, when you go back and look at verse 45, it says here, and straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before. Really, he's saying, before I get there. So now if Jesus is saying, go to the other side before I get there, that's saying a lot. It's saying, you know, you got to get there because I'm going to be there. Does anybody have a rhema word? Does anybody have a prophetic word over their life? If you got that word, it has to manifest because God has spoken that word. He says in straightway, constrain the disciples, get in the ship and go on to the other side, unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And notice what he said. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when evening was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea. And he was alone on land. And he saw them toiling, for the wind was contrary. In other words, it was against them. Here's my first takeaway for you. This is what you need to understand. Expect distractions when you have a word from the Lord. Expect distractions. It's I almost want to tell you that's got to be your normal now. That's your new normal. Whenever you get a word from the Lord, expect distractions are going to come. The minute you have a word, expect that the enemy is coming to steal, to kill, and try to destroy you. He can't stop the way he's going to try to take you out. So expect that. Because Jesus says, I want you to go over to the other side. I'm paraphrasing. And I'll be there. Just going over. I'll catch up with you, boys. But you go ahead. If he tells you to go to the other side, he already knows what's going to happen before you get to the other side. So the distraction doesn't take God off guard. It just catches us off guard. So the first takeaway is expect distraction. When you get a word and you're shouting in church and you're dancing and rolling and spitting and screaming, get on up. And that's good, but expect that Monday is coming and distractions are going to come your way. Amen. So just prepare yourself. Bible says, arm yourself likewise. Yes. I'm ready for it. Devil, you're not going to stop me. That's not going to stop me. Oh, they talking about me. Ever since I got this word, everybody looks like they're looking at me funny now. But that's okay. I was expecting that, devil. I expect distractions to come my way. I expect chaos to try to break out in my house. Break out maybe in my marriage. Break out maybe in my relationship with Boo and them. But that's okay. I expected it. You know why? Because I got a word from the Lord. Whenever you're carrying a word from the Lord, you got to know that the enemy is just not going to lie dormant and let you just roll on into your destiny. He's got to try to fight you tooth and nail to stop you from getting to your destiny. But it's only a smokescreen. It's just a distraction. Expect it to happen. Expect it. I know that's not good preaching, but it's the truth. That's reality. You got to expect it. And I know when we get a word, we're shouting and, you know, we just want to walk it on out and do, I mean, everything's going to be all right. The truth of the matter, whenever men and women of God got a word from the Lord, most of the time they had to go through hell. Yeah. To hold on to what God said. Ask Joseph, he got a word from the Lord. Dreams and visions. All of a sudden his whole life was turned upside down because of a word. Jeremiah was called in ministry. Whole life turned upside down. He's got a word, a calling on his life, and he finds himself in bad places. Sometimes in dung. For the sake of preaching the word. Expect distractions. He said, go on to the other side. In the moment that they're on the other side, they're trying to get to the other side. They're in the middle of the sea. On their way to Bethsaida. On their way to doing what God told them to do. What do you do when you're doing everything that God called you to do and you find yourself in a storm? Because it's not, you know, truth be told, that doesn't compute. Because here's, I know we talk about struggles and challenges, but the truth of the matter is that's just for the other people. See, I'm too anointed to have to go through it. The devil can't touch my life. We say all, you know, we quote all of those scriptures and, you know, we say all those slogans, little catchy phrases. But the reality of it is that we don't believe that we should have to go through anything as long as I'm lining up with God. I'm anointed. Don't touch God's anointing. Do his prophet no harm. But I'm telling you, you can be anointed, appointed, called, baptized in the Holy Ghost, with a bow tie, and still find yourself in a storm. Doing the will of God. Can I talk to the real people this morning? I'm doing the will of God, and why is all this hail breaking out? I'm doing the will of God, and why is all this going crooked? I'm doing the will of God, and why does all this look like it's coming down in my life? The reason why is because you got a word from the Lord, and they find themselves in a storm. With a word from God, and I'm in a storm. What do you do? How do you make sense of this? Have you ever been in a storm and felt like just this can't be God? See, I got to talk to the real people because, see, come on, take your church face off. You know, and I know you know the word, but have you ever been in something and say, this can't be God? If it was God, it wouldn't go on this long. I can accept a little trial for a few weeks, you know, maybe a couple of months. But when it's 6 months and it's a year and it's going into 2 years, something's wrong now. This can't be God. The devil is a liar. And the whole time, God is in the details. Wasn't the devil that told him to go over to the other side. God told them to go over to the other side. Are you saying the omniscient God did not know that a storm was going to break out before he told them to go to the other side? Just expect distractions. Now, Let me move on, because I ain't getting too many amens on that, because, Pastor, you don't know, I'm right there right now. I came to get a word of deliverance. I thought you were going to say, you know, my coming out hour is the day. You in the right place at the right time, getting the right word. I'm going to get my deliverance today. And you are telling me that I'm... Keep looking straight. You can't talk back to me, but I feel you by the spirit that you say, Pastor, I'm a little tired right now. But I'm just telling you what the word says. They're in a storm. They're in the middle of the sea, caught in a storm that they can't control. For all you control freaks, God will get you in the stuff. I said God will cause things to happen that's totally out of the realm of your control. You can't push a button to do this. You can't tweet this away. You can't Facebook this away. Come on. You can't send an Instagram to get rid of this. This is just the way it's going to be. And you're going to have to just rest here. That's why the Bible said weeping may endure for a night. And that's relative. Because, you know, night can be long. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Night can be a long time. But he said weeping may endure for a night. But joy, there is a coming out hour. He just doesn't tell you when. Because if I tell you when, then you don't have to walk by faith. So they're toiling. And the text says in verse 48, and he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was against them. They are trying to get to their destiny, and the forces of the enemy is trying to push them back. And the more I try to go forward, the more he pushes me back. And I have you ever felt like this? I got to talk. Am I talking to the right people? Is this the right word? Because I made some progress. But then, and it's not like I don't believe God. I'm holding on for dear life. I'm pushing by faith. But it seems like the more I push, the more I go back. Is God, are you around? Do you see what I have to deal with? I'm talking faith. You said, bless them that curse me, do good to them that hate me. I'm doing all of that, and I still look like I'm going back. They taking advantage of me. Oh, God, everything in my house is breaking down, and I'm serving you. Am I talking to somebody? Here's the second point. Realize Jesus knows what you are going through. You are not alone. He said, I saw them toiling and rowing. He sees you. That may not mean like a lot to you, but man, it sure means a lot to me. You know, I just want to know, because sometimes I'm wondering, God, do you see all this craziness that's going on here? Am I the only one? God, do you see this? Do you see what they're doing? Do you see what's going on? And I'm so glad the Bible said the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous and his ears are open unto. He sees. Tell your neighbor, he sees. Yeah. He sees. And know what? He knows about it. He know you are not by yourself. He knows about it. He knows everything that you're going through. He knows how you feel when you get up in the morning, that it takes everything on the inside of you to just put your smile on. Come on, somebody. Some of you know you just got to put it on. It don't just wake up with you any longer because you're going through so much hell right there. But when you leave that house and you get to that job, you know, you may have a frown on your face out of the car. But when you get out, you say, how you doing? Good morning. The God is good. God is good. You know, it took hell to get you to get that on your face. He knows. He knows. He knows. He knows. He knows. He sees everything. The eyes of the Lord are in every place. What does it say? Beholding the evil and the good. He sees the good that you're doing. Don't let the enemy tell you God doesn't know what you're going through, does he? You're all alone. That's the trick of the enemy. That's the lie from the pit of hell. God sees what you're going through. The eyes of the Lord are going to and fro to show himself strong on behalf of his people. God sees where you are. He saw them toiling. He sees the people that lie on you. He sees the people that take advantage of you. He knows you should have got the promotion and you didn't get it. He saw that. He saw that. He saw them just step right over you. He knows. There's nothing that goes on in your life that God doesn't know about. And it is the enemy that says to you, you're all by yourself. Look at you. God doesn't even know you're going through this. Some of you have been in your spiritual corner just having a pity party. If God only knew what I was dealing with. And my heart is overwhelmed. And I just don't know what to do. I wish God could see what I'm dealing with. That's your heart cry for some of you. And I'm here to tell you, he knows. He knows. He knows. And you see, the church, for the church, we wear it well. Because we know how to smile. We know how to fake the funk. Oh yeah, we know how to do it. You know, giving honor to God and all the saints of God, the pastor, the deacons, the friends of God. And behind that testimony, there's a hurting, bleeding person that don't really believe that God knows what I'm dealing with. But this morning, I got some revelation for you. You got to realize God knows what you're going through. And he saw them toiling. And the wind was against them. The forces of evil was against them. Everything that you are going to try to do for God, you got to expect that the enemy is going to try to come against you and stop you from moving into your destiny. Amen. Just when the children of Israel thought they were free and they had gotten away out of 400 years of Egyptian bondage and they're on their way, and they look behind them and here's the enemy, Pharaoh's army, trying to destroy them. You got an army of devils trying to pull you down. But you know at the end of the day what happened? It was all a setup. Because when God sees and he knows, he's going to do something about it. You don't believe me? Let's look at the text. Go on down to the text. It says here in verse 48. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch. Somebody say about the fourth watch. That's between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. The fourth watch of the night. He cometh unto them. Oh God, man, I can leap a little bit. He cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed them. Ooh. But when he saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed that it had been a spirit or a ghost and cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and said unto them, be of good cheer, for it is I. Here's that third takeaway. Jesus will always show up when you're in trouble. See, it's one thing for him to see and know, and I'm thankful for that. But man, I'm more thankful that not only does he know, but he will always show up when I'm in trouble. Come on, somebody. Now, I do have to warn you now. He may not show up in conventional ways that you're accustomed to, but he will show up. Oh, God. Because he showed up walking on water now. By God, you got to be ready for the kind of deliverance that he'll give in your life. He may not deliver you the way you think he should deliver you, but I don't care about that. Just get me out of it. Oh, yeah. If you got to walk on water to get to me, walk on water, Jesus. Come on, somebody. Yeah. If you got to take some clay and some mud and put it in my eyes to get me to see, put the spit in my eyes. But I just want my deliverance. He will always show up when you are in trouble. And at the fourth watch, he is Jesus. Walking on water. What? Some of you are like, Hey dog, is that, hey dog, you see, that can't be what I think it is it? Yeah, that's, no man, that can't be either. And everybody back it up like, now you need to be delivered. You in the storm, but you about ready to stop your deliverance because it's not coming the way, you know, it's not dealing with your carnal mind, your intellect. It's messing them up. And they're like, but can I tell you something? In this season of your life, you got to be ready for whatever Jesus is going to come with. You got to be ready for it. Because it may not come in conventional ways. But I don't care. I just want my deliverance. And the Bible said he was walking on water. Now get this. This is just a little side note. But as you read the text, the Bible said he's walking on water and would have passed them by. Do you understand the inference of that? That means that Jesus was walking faster than the boat was sailing. And you telling me he can't get to you? My God, he's walking faster than the boat. He, Bible said he went, hey, Jesus. I'm sorry. I almost passed you by. I don't care what you're in. He can get to you. You may be in a storm, but Jesus can get to you. You may be in a pit, but Jesus can get to you. You may be going through hell, but he'll go way down in hell to pull you back up. He will show up. Tell your neighbor, he will show up. Here's what the Bible said. The Bible said he will be a very present help in the time of trouble. You show me trouble, I'll show you a Jesus that'll show up in your trouble. You show me a problem, I'll show you a Jesus that'll show up in your problem. Oh, he will show up. He will show up. Now we used to hear years ago, he may not come when you want him. Come on, preachers. But he's always. Come on, somebody. But he's always on time. Because I already tell you now, he never sets his watch, his clock by your watch. Come on, somebody. So when he shows up, he's always on time. They are toiling. And the Bible said, it was the fourth watch between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. Now, here's my little mind thinking like, they were there longer than this. Jesus, I've been in this sea for a minute. You feel me? Can I talk to the real people? I've been here for a minute. Now, any time now, Jesus, it'll be good if you want to just show up. Because I feel like I'm sinking. Has anybody ever felt like that? I mean, in the last week or two. It'll be good if you wanted to just come on in. I won't have no problem. The door is open. But the Bible said he comes walking at the fourth hour. Between 3 and 6 in the morning. They've been out there for a minute. You've been going through your thing for a minute. But all I'm telling you is he knows about it. He knows you've been going through it for a minute. There's some things that you've been trying to lay hold to and you don't seem like you can get your hand on it. And there's some things that seem like it's going on and it's slipping through and you don't know if you can stop the bleeding, but he knows about it. And when he shows up, here's what I found out and discovered. He always shows up at the right time because he has a set time to bring us out. And our time, we want him to bring us out. But if he brings us out in your time, he doesn't get the glory. You get the glory because you're going to be thinking you had a part to play in it. But he'll wait till it gets real dead and stinky. You know, like Lazarus, you know, they told him before Lazarus died. Did y'all read y'all Bible? Lazarus was still alive when they told him he's sick. Jesus gets the audacity to wait 4 days still before you decide to show up. So don't be too hard on Martha and Mary. They had a right. Because if you would have sent for Jesus 4 days before it got worse, and then he shows up later, Come on, somebody. Come on. Don't play me today. You already know. You had a real attitude. They weren't trying to cook Jesus no food, no meal. Because that was a hangout spot for Jesus. He went to their house. He always got them a hot meal. That day, when Jesus rolled up in there, Martha said, let her know. Because, you know, sisters, y'all don't hold back. Brothers might be a little more diplomatic. You roll up on the sister and she's hot. She say, like, if you'd have been here. Don't be looking for no hurrah today. I want to just tell you how I feel. If you would have been here, my brother would not be dead. Now you come. And Jesus said, well, you know, I can raise him up now. And she doesn't get the revelation. She's like, I know you can do it in the resurrection day. He said to her, I am the resurrection. You looking at it right now. So whenever Jesus shows up, it's always on time. Tell your neighbor, he's always on time. He's never late. He's never early. He's right on time. Woo! And you know what I love about Jesus? When he shows up, he shows out. Woo! He doesn't just show up like some Johnny come lately with no power. When he shows up, he shows out. He wrecks the whole house. He wrecks the whole system. He tears down everything to pull you out. The Bible said when Jesus got there, look at the text. It says here, for they saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and said unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up into the ship. Check this out. Told you when Jesus shows up, it's one thing for somebody to show up and don't do nothing. You know, and don't get me wrong, because we're limited. You know, we have limitations. We can show up and console you, put our hands around you, hug you, tell you it's going to be all right, but there's still hell going on in your life. When Jesus shows up, he don't just console you, he delivers you. Because he says here, he says, and he went up into the ship, and when he got into the ship, the wind ceased. In other words, Jesus said, I'm here. And everything had to fall in line with the will of God. Because God's will was them to get over to the other side. In other words, I'm going to tell you again, you're going to make it. You know why? Because Jesus is going to show up. And when he shows up, he's going to calm the storm in your life. So don't get it twisted. Don't get upset. Don't get anxious. Don't get nervous. Breathe in and breathe out, because you are going to make it. Let me throw this at you and then I'm going to take my seat. You know, I've read this text so many times. But I overlooked this, verse 52. And I think this is critical. Verse 52 says this, preachers. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their hearts were hardened. They considered not the miracle of the loaves. What in the world, Jesus, does that have to do with this storm that I'm in? They considered not the miracle of the loaves. Can I say that one more time? Because I want you to get that in your spirit. They considered not the miracle of the loaves. To understand that, you have to go back to the previous setting in the same chapter of Mark. Jesus has ministered to people, and the disciples say, send them away. Jesus said, no, they go. They're going to probably faint on their way back because they've been here for almost 3 days. So, without eating, man, and some of y'all have a problem coming to church for just an hour or two, but they wanted the word so bad they were willing to miss a meal for 3 days. So here they are. And Jesus said, well, we got to feed them. And the disciples, you know, and I understand. I'm not hating on the disciples because, you know, in their counter, they're like, Jesus, there's a lot of people out here. How are we going to feed all these people? He said, do some reconnaissance and see, you know, what kind of food we have at our disposal. So they did something, came back to Jesus and said, what do you have? He said, well, we found two fish and five loaves. And they said, but what is this among all of these people? That's not going to do it. But see, you got to know who Jesus is. See, all I'm trying to tell you, sometimes we put limits on God's ability. We put limits on God's ability. So he says, bring it here. If Jesus can get a hold of something, he can always cause it to multiply. Yeah. He says, bring it here. The Bible said he blessed it and what? And broke it. If he blesses something, it'll keep on flowing. Oh, yeah. He blessed it and broke it. And then he says, send it out. Go and feed the people. Now you got to understand, it's over 5,000 people. The text says, because it doesn't count the women and children. It could have been 10,000 people that he fed. Because the text says he fed 5,000 men. You don't think any women were there? Come on, sisters. Y'all ain't going to miss Jesus. And children were there. It could have been 10,000 plus people. And the Bible said that he blessed it and broke it, gave it to his disciples. They started handing food out to over 5,000 people, not counting the women and children. Maybe 10,000 plus. And everybody was filled. So much so, here's the other thing. They ended up taking up 12 baskets, leftovers. Now, I know some of y'all don't like leftovers, but if Jesus blessed it and broke it, I'm going to eat a leftover. Come on, somebody. You may not want a leftover, but if Jesus has his hand on it, give me the leftovers. Come on, somebody. Woo, Jesus. This is what he's talking about. They saw that. They were a part of that. They were there handing the food out. They saw how the more they went to somebody, the more it just kept increasing. I don't know how it happened, but it happened. Jesus says this. He's bothered with them because they did not consider the miracle of the loaves. Can I tell you what he's saying? He's saying, why were you guys afraid, thinking that you were going to die in this sea? Didn't you see my power in increasing the fish and the bread? The same power that caused me to do that is the same power that will deliver you out of this sea and this storm. I want you to understand and say this. Here's another way I want to say this. Remember your past. That's all he's saying. Remember what he has done already. If he delivered you with his power and his anointing back then, you got to consider that he can do it now. Now, the problem may be bigger, but the anointing is still the same. Let me say that again. The problem may be bigger, but it's the same Holy Ghost power anointing. And he doesn't need any more power, come on, to heal a cold than he needs to heal cancer. Just consider what he did in the past. Yeah. Tell your neighbor, consider the loaves. Just remember how he brought you out then. He can do it now. Remember how he brought you out back then. He can do it now. Consider the loaves. And he said, what is it going to take to get you to believe that if I did that, I can do this? And all I'm trying to say is, if he tells you something, it's got to manifest. And you're going to make it, my brothers and my sisters. You know why? Because you got a word from God. And God will never leave you in a storm. He will always show up and he will always deliver. Consider your past. Everybody standing. Just consider your past. Consider the loaves. Whatever that load looked like in your life, whatever that miracle was, that's your load. What did he do in the past? Do we have any people that can say, I know God's a miracle working God? Well, that same miracle working God that did that is going to do this. He said, I didn't understand because they did not consider the loaves. They did not remember what I've already done. Few days prior, you see what I did? We are so quick to forget what God has already done. And everybody's miracle may not have looked the same, but a miracle is a miracle. And when you're in something and he brings you out, it doesn't matter what he brings you out. You just knew it was God. Well, the same God that did that. I'm learning. It's the same God that's going to do that. He doesn't need more anointing to do it. You know, we get it twisted because our problem may be bigger. It may be more severe. But the anointing is still the anointing. The woman with the issue of blood, she'll tell you. He healed her. The woman that came to Jesus and said, I got a daughter that's vexed with a demon. And Jesus says to this woman, he says, it's not meet. It's not right to give the children's bread to the dogs. What Jesus was really saying, he wasn't really insulting her. He was saying, my time has not come for the Gentiles. I came for the Jews. For the gospel would come through the Jews and ultimately to the Gentiles and ultimately to the world. And she says, but this woman was so determined to get what she needed from God. See, some of y'all, the enemy is wearing you down until you are losing your spiritual determination. But I want you to know, you don't want to lose that. You got to be like this woman. And she says, I understand truth, Lord. I with you, I understand. But she said, even the dogs eat the crumbs that falls from the master's table. And Jesus said, oh boy, you done hit something right there. You know what she hit? She hit faith. And all I'm trying to tell you, saints, the same faith that you used to trust them back then is the same faith that you use now. Not a bigger faith, same faith. Same faith. Different problem, same faith. Different problem, same anointing. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. I declare that over your life. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. Can you grab somebody by the hand? Because we need one another. That hand you're holding, you're telling your brother, your sister, you're going to make it. You're going to make it. I refuse to let you fall. If God be on our side, we're going to make it. We're going to make it. Shitabadobobobobosha. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, but we are going to make it. Spirit of God, we thank you for your anointing. We thank you for your word. We thank you for encouraging us, God. We thank you for the brother and the sister, the hand that we are holding. God, we don't know what their issue is. We don't know what their problem is. We don't know what they're struggling with or their challenges. But we are declaring in the spirit, because we see what you say in your word, that they are going to make it. We say, God, we thank you that they're going to be delivered. They're going to be set free. They're going to see the turnaround, the breakthrough, the come out. They are going to make it. So we declare that over their life right now. We declare in the atmosphere, God, that no weapon that has been formed against them shall prosper. And every tongue that has rose up against them, they will condemn. So we thank you, God, for the Holy Ghost anointing that's flowing in this house right now. Let every yoke be destroyed. Every shackle be broken. Thank you for turnaround. Thank you for breakthrough. And we declare in the spirit that they're going to make it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now loose that hand and begin to praise God. Let the devil know, I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it.